As I mentioned earlier, this is the annual meeting of the board, and we will elect a chair, an executive committee, officers of the board, and approve other organizational matters. We also have presentations scheduled for today and reports from the chairs of the board committees. But first, I would like to ask President Colleen to introduce the many university officers and guests we have here with us today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I would like to introduce our treasurer, Lester H. McKeever, Jr. of Washington, Pittman, and McKeever. Also, we have Chancellor and Vice President Michael Amaridis from Chicago, Chancellor and Vice President Robert Jones from Urbana-Champaign, Chancellor and Vice President Susan Cook from Springfield, and the other university officers and staff, University Counsel Thomas Barrows, Interim Vice President, Chief Financial Officer and Comptroller Avijit Ghosh, Executive Director for University Relations Thomas Hardy, Vice President for Economic Development and Innovation Ed Seidel, Secretary of the Board of the Trustees and the University, D.D. Williams, Executive Vice President and Vice President for Academic Affairs, Barbara Wilson. Representing the University Senate's conference and representing the Urbana-Champaign Campus Senate, we don't have folks here today right now, but we have representing the Chicago Campus Senate, Sandra DeGruta, a professor and scholarly communication librarian. Representing the Springfield Campus Senate, I don't have a name, and then representing the academic professional staff, Colleen Pearson, Assistant Head for Administration, Department of Medicinal Chemistry and Pharmacognosy, University of Illinois at Chicago. Also in attendance are Bene DeBerry Spence, Professor, Department of Managerial Studies, Chicago, Professor Mina Rao, Chair of the University Senate's Conference, and Professor, Department of Physiology and Biophysics, Chicago, and Catherine Vincent, Professor, Associate Professor, College of Nursing, and Chair of the Chicago Senate Executive Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. I have a few remarks I'd like to make here at the outset of our meeting. Last week, I saw the most recent statistics, which indicate that the state of Illinois is still second only to New Jersey for exporting our children to other states for their undergraduate education. And as you all know, many of them, estimated around two-thirds, will never return. This indicates roughly 12,500 young men and women lost to the state for keeps. I believe we need to make it a priority of reversing this trend, and if we agree later today to the in-state tuition freeze and small fee increases, then let's hope that this is a step in the right direction. Next, I'd like to comment on our capital plans. At our November meeting, President Colleen shared an update on our ongoing efforts to ensure that facilities across the system are keeping pace with the needs of our students and researchers. It is a key to our mission that could all too easily be lost in the shuffle when money is tight and attention rightfully shifts to maintaining the day-to-day excellence in classrooms and laboratories that is synonymous with our university. But our leadership team has not lost sight of the bricks and mortar needs. Even during a two-year budget impasse that siphoned away state funding, even with no state capital spending program, and even as in-state tuition has been frozen to promote access and affordability. Over the last 5 years since fiscal 2014, more than $1.2 billion has been invested system-wide in renovations, upgrades, and new construction. The list includes a host of projects that reflect our unwavering commitment to a transformative experience for students and to pioneering research discovery that drives progress and prosperity. Here at UIC, more than $380 million in construction includes $20 million to renovate the College of Medicine Learning Center, providing state-of-the-art equipment and a team-based learning environment unlike any available to students before. Urbana-Champaign's nearly $850 million in projects include almost $50 million raised through donations that helped earn matching state funds to build a new world-class home for the nationally ranked electrical and computer engineering department. More than $30 million in projects in Springfield include nearly $22 million for an iconic new landmark that opened Sunday, the campus's first ever student union. Later today, Interim Chief Financial Officer Avijit Ghosh will provide a report on capital spending, and we are committed to do even more. So on behalf of the board, I'm directing President Colleen and his leadership team to sharpen our focus even more on the facility needs of our university, our students, our faculty, and staff. Our goal is a long-term capital plan and accompanying funding model that sets system-wide priorities and a way to pay for them with a special focus on facilities that serve students and discovery. We are grateful to President Killeen and the leadership across the system for ensuring that facilities never drifted from our radar and look forward to their long-range plans to carry us forward. With regard to capital spending, I would just like to mention the Discovery Partners Institute, or DPI. We are still waiting on promised state and city monetary grants to begin work on DPI, but I think we may need to consider doing some of the initial funding ourselves to kickstart the process, so to speak. DPI is just too big an opportunity to pass up. I believe commencing its planning and construction should be one of our priorities. My final topic has to do with the July 2018 retreat, board retreat. As most of you know, it has been the Board of Trustees' custom to hold a retreat the day before the July board meeting. The board retreat has addressed various topics. For instance, last year we discussed hot button issues in higher ed. That's right. You should all got a brochure on that. Free speech on campus, globalization and immigration, and civic engagement. Some years ago, the board dedicated time during its annual retreat for self-assessment, a candid inward look at how the board operates and how board practices might be changed to maximize its effectiveness and to help the university achieve its near and long-term goals. I believe that another board self-evaluation would be timely and worthwhile. I suggest that we consider allocating time in the July 2018 retreat for that purpose, and I would certainly welcome any reaction from my colleagues. I found the rough draft of the self-assessment to be a goldmine of excellent ideas and thoughtful comment. I think we could all benefit from looking into this at a greater depth. And just to put in a sales pitch, I believe we've received 7 responses out of 11 trustees, so if you have yet to respond, please do so. Tim, do you have some opening remarks for us?
Thank you, Chairman Kortz. I do, with your indulgence. Happy New Year, everyone, and I hope you all had a relaxing, refreshing, and joyous holiday. In a few minutes, as trustees, you will begin the board's business for 2018 by conducting your annual organizational meeting, electing a board chair, executive committee, and officers. So I wanted to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for your generous volunteering of your time and your talents as trustees. I doubt, and I know my colleagues doubt, that many fully grasp the long unpaid hours you put in, the complex issues you sift through, or just how much our universities, our students, and our state benefit from your unique insights and leadership. On Monday, we all joined our nation in commemorating the 89th birthday of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., who once said, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" Well, what you do touches untold lives, the students of today and tomorrow, and everyone across our state and around the world who will feel the impact of the talent and innovation that rises from our 3 great universities here. So on behalf of all of our students, faculty, staff, alumni, and the citizens of Illinois, my deepest thanks to you, trustees, for your loyalty and commitment and hard work. And on behalf of our leadership team across the system, I also welcome the chair's directive to develop a long-range capital plan that ensures that our facilities are as world-class and remain so as our teaching and our research. I had the honor of helping unveil our latest edition last Sunday with Trustee McMillan, the new first-ever student union on our growing Springfield campus. Congratulations, Susan. The new campus landmark is a powerful new magnet that will help attract even more students to UIS and the life-changing opportunities that it provides. It also reflects our commitment, derived from the board, to the student experience that runs so deep that the nearly $22 million facility rose amid a historic state budget impasse without a dime of state funding. As Chairman Koretz noted in his remarks, facilities have always been top of mind across the system, with well over $1 billion invested in the last 5 years. And taking the deeper dive that you're asking for to assess our greatest needs and set long-range priorities is the next logical step in a strategic planning process that has examined virtually every aspect of our operations over the last 3 years. Our steady vision towards the future is rooted in another board directive, the strategic framework that you authorized before I took office and later adopted in 2016. It set ambitious high aspiration goals to build on our 150 years of service to students and the public good, and we've been working carefully and thoughtfully to achieve these goals ever since. We've adopted strategies to promote access and affordability, including a historic recommendation on today's agenda that reflects our bedrock commitment to affordability for students and a bright future for them and for the people of Illinois. This proposal, on your approval, would freeze tuition for in-state freshmen next fall for the fourth straight year, the longest rate freeze in more than four decades. If it approved, the base tuition for incoming Illinois freshmen for the 2018-19 academic year would match rates that have held steady since the 2014-15 school year. But the impact runs even deeper. Because of state law that locks in tuition for 4 years, it means that an in-state student who enrolls next fall would pay the same rate when she graduates in 2022 as her older sister paid when she entered the U of I system in 2014. So that's remarkable in my mind. You'll hear more about the freeze later and how it helped increase enrollment of Illinois undergraduates by more than 5%, and that's over 2,200 students during its first 3 years. I'm talking about a lot of people. We've also developed the Tandem Initiative focused on access, a strategic enrollment plan that seeks to continue gains that will push system-wide enrollment to record highs for five straight years. When it was adopted here a year ago, the plan set a goal to top 93,000 students by 2021, and we are already more than 2,000 students closer after enrollment topped a record 83,000 plus last fall. The initiative reflects our commitment to expand opportunity, particularly among in-state and underrepresented students, and to build on the pipeline of talent that is critical to the future of our state and nation. We've also developed, following the strategic framework, a strategic legislative agenda that is already paying dividends, including a package of procurement reforms enacted last year that will improve efficiency and avert purchasing delays that frustrate faculty and stifle research. This agenda is headlined by our proposed U of I Investment Performance and Accountability Commitment, or IPAC, groundbreaking proposal would redefine our partnership with the state, providing predictable state funding for university operations in exchange for tangible performance goals that support Illinois students and serve the state's needs. We've also worked under the strategic framework with our partners at the U of I Foundation to develop and launch the most ambitious fundraising campaign in our history, and it's gotten off to a great start with your help. This historic initiative is built on unique campaigns at each of our three universities and seeks to raise a combined $3.1 billion over the next 5 years. It will provide the private gifts that have long been the fuel that drives our excellence, supporting our students, our faculty, our staffs, and our dreams for the future. And finally, we continue to strategically examine our operations to improve efficiency, reduce costs, and channel resources to support our core educational and research missions. Our most recent effort along those lines is now drawing to a close, what we call a realignment review that was launched a year ago to consider possible realignment of system offices. And this project has been very successful, and it's reduced administrative costs at a time of growing enrollment and increasing complexity. I'm really grateful for the work of a committee led by Interim CFO Avijit Ghosh and other colleagues, and everybody who contributed to this successful effort. The facilities review that the board has requested fits hand in glove with these initiatives that I've just described, summarized, and the steadfast commitment we must have to planning and good stewardship and to a new era of service to students and progress. It's going to take our capital efforts of recent years to a new level and provide a clear strategic assessment of the projects that are most needed to support students and innovation, both academics, innovation, both today and decades from now. So thank you for your guidance as we continue to build on this positive momentum that seeks to make the U of I system a model for the very best in research-intensive higher education. Finally, on your desks, you'll find a colorful trifold brochure we created as a handy reference to the U of I system's new set of guiding principles that we released in December. All of you on the board were instrumental in developing these statements, which lay out our position on three timely issues in higher education: free speech on campus, immigration and globalization, and civic engagement. It's in fresh language that's our language, not derived from any other university, public or private. And the statements were the result of a collaborative process that involved more than 200 people, but took root during your July board retreat last summer, and where the board was connected with stakeholders from across the system and key external experts on these key national issues. So after that retreat, working groups distilled the ideas that surfaced at the retreat and drafted value statements, which were finalized through input from trustees, chancellors, faculty, staff, and students. So these statements align with current practices, and by design are not intended as rule books or procedures that address every possible scenario. Instead, they codify the broad guiding principles that have guided our success in the past and provide a solid foundation to inform our actions into the future. So I'm grateful to everybody who shared their time and insights to help ensure that our universities continue to foster inclusive, welcoming, diverse, excellent campus cultures that promote an open exchange of divergent ideas. My thanks to all of you again for your service, and I'm happy to answer questions and look forward to the rest of the meeting.
Questions or comments?